Yes, sir. Welcome on in to another episode of The Link Up. It's your boy, Ron and Don, your other host, Alan Zander. You see it at Alan Zander on all socials. And me, you know, I just want somebody to love me like Jacob loves Solo. But at the end of the day, man, it's been an exciting week in the world of pro wrestling, if you could still call it that nowadays. Some might not think so. We're going to get into that. We got to talk about where AEW is lacking, and then we got to talk about SmackDown and Raw reviews. But first, we got to kick it off with NXT, who has been on fire lately. Shawn Michaels finishing the top five of Top Booker's Award. I think it was from the Wrestling Observer Awards, End of the Year Awards. But to me, this man damn near might be number one. The stuff that is going down in NXT has been insane. Now, what are you talking about? If you're not tuned in, they just had NXT Vengeance Day this past weekend. We saw a new group debut. I'm going to start with them. Some people calling it the Shield 2.0. Some people calling it Retribution 2.0. After Obafemi successfully defended his title against A-Town Down Under, he was attacked by these four men. And they also showed up and caused some havoc on NXT. Where your head at with these guys and what the vibes is you got on them?
Well, I'm definitely not getting Shield 2.0 vibes. Definitely getting like Retribution 2.0 vibes with them. Like I think of this group as like what the Retribution could have been if there was a live audience. They're capitalizing on it right now. So all they're doing is just recycling, just reusing what they've already did. So, which I'm not mad at it. So I'm excited to see where they go from there. But like NXT is definitely on a roll, man. It's almost like, you know, NXT is in competition with Raw and SmackDown right now. Like it's like an in-house competition.
Definitely. I mean, I've been saying it for a while. I think eventually we're gonna get to the point where NXT is like the official third brand and not just development anymore, because they already coming out with WWE Evolve. They got WWE LFG, so they already kind of, like, to me, kind of, you know, ushering that in. But sticking with Obafemi, at this point, Obafemi is the undisputed king of triple threats. Like, this man is always in a triple threat match and always manages to come out on top. So he was approached by somebody who officially crossed the line. And TNA, the TNA X Division champion, Moose. And we get in a matchup that we never thought that we were going to see, because Moose was trolling us and saying that it wasn't going to happen. How you feel about that one? You excited for that one? That's a dream match right there.
Certainly. It's pretty much, look, some will argue that, like, Obafemi, like the Brock Lesnar of NXT. So you take the Brock Lesnar of NXT, and then some may argue the Brock Lesnar of TNA. Put them two together. I ain't gonna lie, that match is gonna cook. And look, on Black History Month too, hey, that's gonna cook for sure.
Hey, man. Speaking of Black History Month, shout out that boy, Xander Edits, boy, going crazy. But man, yeah, I'm definitely excited for that matchup. You know, really two alpha males going at it. I got to take Oba on this one because he's the rising star. You know, Moose, he kind of like, he been doing it a little while, but Obafemi, in the words of Booker T, he don't want no bread. He don't want no water. Just me.
No diddy.
Man. Then it doesn't stop there. Apparently, next week on NXT, the Hardy Boys are making their return to face the new quarter catch, the no quarter catch crew, and tag team action. So, Jeff Hardy been throwing it out there how he low key want to return to WWE, have some things popping off, going a little retirement tour, kind of like John Cena. Do you think this is the step in the right direction for them?
Definitely. This is how you do it. You know, like, you start off in NXT, and then depending on how that match goes, You may get called up again to go to Raw, SmackDown, or something. Who knows, man? Who knows what? Because I mean, at the end of the day, it's the Hardy Boys. You know what I'm saying? So, but I just hope that this match that they have next week is not like any of them AEW matches that they had, because I don't know where it is, but when legends get to AEW, it's just, this is like their wrestling skills just, it takes a dip. It takes a little dip. Hey. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say it's bad, but it takes a little dip.
That's AEW, man. We talking about NXT. I don't think Shawn Michaels is going to let them go out bad. But I do think, call me crazy, but I think this is kind of like a low-key, a omen of things to come, so to speak, because the Hall of Fame is right around the corner. And I have a feeling that we're looking at two people that might be going in with Triple H and with Michelle McCool. Yes, that's right. Michelle McCool was inducted, or is going to be inducted, in the Hall of Fame. She was surprised by her husband and Triple H on ESPN as they announced that Michelle McCool will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, man. How do you feel about this one?
Shoot, hey, look, it's well deserved. I mean, what more can I say? She, look, decorated superstar, you know what I mean, in her own right. Got out the mud, you know what I mean? And, hey, made it to where now she could officially call herself a Hall of Famer. So, hey, I can't fault that. My thing is, who inducts her, though?
Who calls her out? So, I mean, it's between two people, maybe three. Got Layla.
That's who I was thinking.
You got, of course, the husband, Undertaker. And then you got Mickey James, or AKA Piggy James. I seen a video of Michelle McCool giving her a lot of credit for basically jumpstarting her career with that bullying gimmick. So I could definitely see one of those three for sure, but definitely well deserved. You know, my bad, because a couple of pod episodes ago, I already thought she was in the Hall of Fame, but nah, I was mistaken. Well, this year,
look, is the year. You foreshadowed it though. So hey, now she's in the Hall of Fame. So you must, that's what look, we do look, on this show. Look, man, you must have known something, you know what I'm saying, before it happened.
Nah, man, I can't be giving away all the sauce, man. They might fire me, man. But back to NXT. We got a new debut. I'm excited for this one. Ladies and gentlemen, the Revolution will be televised in NXT. Ricky Saints, not Ricky Starks, Ricky Saints has officially signed his NXT contract. He was interrupted by Ethan Page, and then interrupted by Wes Lee, and it looks like he's going to be taking on Wes Lee on the next episode of NXT. Man, what do you think Ricky Saints' ceiling is in NXT?
I don't think there is one. I ain't going to lie. I'm stoked that he's made his debut in NXT, because honestly, like, believe it or not, a lot of people don't know that Ricky Saints is a Wildcat Sports alum. He wrestled at Wildcat Sports, you know what I mean? So to actually see somebody that came up in the same wrestling school that I'm in right now, and he's in a spot that I want to eventually get to, it just goes to show you, like, anything can happen in this wrestling business, you know what I mean? So I'm hyped about that one.
I'm definitely hyped as well. For people that don't know Ricky Starks, even if you don't like AEW, he did great work in AEW. Big, like, I would say check out him in the NWA. That was like the best Ricky Starks, in my opinion, where he really like honed his craft and became the guy he is today. I keep saying Ricky Starks. It's gonna take me a while to get used to Ricky
Saints. I mean, hey, Ricky Saints, it does make sense though, because I mean, he's from New Orleans, so Ricky Saints, the New Orleans Saints. So but, I mean, I'm mad at it, but it's gonna take some getting used to, like you were saying.
Yeah, I definitely, if I had to say, for the people that don't know Ricky Saints, put it this way, LA Knight is in his 40s, Ricky Saints is in his 20s, so imagine if LA Knight started off in his 20s in WWE, the sky's the limit for Ricky Sacks. I'm putting it that
way. That's why I said ain't no ceiling for him.
But back to his old company, the Death Riders, have a new t-shirt that AEW is selling for $30. Now, I'm going to put this t-shirt on the screen, and you tell me if you paying for this. So right here, you got the plain white tee, and then you got the small Death Riders logo right there.
Ain't nobody buying that, bro. I'm not rocking that, man. That's no different than the Supreme shirt that got the tag at the bottom. You know what I mean? It's just a plain white tee, bro. Like, no. Whose idea was this?
I mean,
Whose idea was this? Like, bro, if anything, you could have at least put the Death Riders logo on the back. Okay, then maybe you might be able to have something with that if you put it on the back. If you didn't want it on the front, you could have just stuck it on the back. But to have it at the bottom of the shirt,
hey,
no.
If you a Death Riders fan, if you actually like this angle and you dig it and you wanted to get one of these, don't do it. All you got to do, listen to me. Like, listen. All you got to do is go to your gas station, get that 3 for $5 white t-shirts, go get a printer, pull up their logo, and put it at the bottom. You're going to save much more money than $30.
Bro,
I'm telling you now, man. Ain't no way.
And the funny thing about it is, right, like they got those little guns, the printer guns. Like on, I think it's like on like Temu. They got things on Temu. You can get it on Temu, bro. TikTok shop. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like you said, shout out Xander Edit, shout out Ron Trolling. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, don't waste your money on this bull, man. Don't do it, man.
Hey, yeah. AW, I just don't know. Man. Let's get
but I need them to stick around, though. I need them to stick around.
Yeah, for sure.
If they don't stick around, then the WWE is probably going to slack. And some ways, like, more often than not, they might start slacking. So
we keep saying that we don't hate AEW. You know, I remember one video we dropped on the TikTok. People was kind of coming at my boy because he said AEW will never be better than WWE. It ain't happening. I mean, he not telling no lies, but we still want to see them succeed because.
But see, that's the thing that they fail to realize. Like, they still have a chance, like, to prove me wrong each and every time that they throw on a show. But they just have to put out better stuff. Man. Like, that's all I was saying. Like, if they just put out a better product that people would actually want to watch, then yeah, like, they have the potential to be better. But as far as how they used to be when they first came out in 2019, that hype is long gone. I think that was their peak, honestly. When they first came out, that was their peak, bro.
Hopefully they can turn it around and not be another WCW, man. Like,
yeah,
hopefully we get, you know.
I mean, hey, look at TNA. They had a time in there, you know what I mean, where it was like it took them a while to get back on their feet. Like it was not always, you know, roses and rainbows and stuff like that. Look, it was some hard times, bro.
Nah, for sure. But look at them now.
Yeah. Them boys taking off right now. Got a partnership with the WWE. Like, come on, man.
Hey, but look, though. AEW and TNA are known as pro wrestling companies. That is something that WWE is not, according to Michael Cole. Michael Cole, I'm going to pull it up so y'all don't think I'm lying. Michael Cole said, that's why Netflix wanted us. Netflix understands we're a storytelling entity first. We're not professional wrestling anymore. We haven't been for many years. We're an entertainment product. This is Michael Cole on the Impulsive podcast with Logan Paul, basically saying that WWE is storytelling first and not professional wrestling. Mr. Xander, you training to be a professional wrestler and having dreams of one day making it to WWE, what is your thoughts on this?
Storytelling first. I mean, they kind of have a point with that. But I mean, that statement is more of like an agree to disagree. Because like, if they weren't pro wrestling first, then why is that like the main thing that people like, that like the people like the scouts and all this stuff, that that's what they look for. You know what I mean? Like, that was the case, then, I mean, I guess we can pretty much get signed off of just a promo then, if that's the case. I'm sure they want to see more than just, you know, how I am on the microphone and stuff like that. They want to see how I perform. They want to see how safe I am, all types of stuff. Like, so I don't know, man. But, I mean, yes, it is. And that is why Netflix did pick them up, I guess. Because, hey, Netflix is a what? It's a movie. It's a movie thing. You know what I mean? It's a movie streaming platform. So,
I don't think
he look at him as like that. So,
I don't think he meant it like they're not looking for professional wrestlers anymore, because you still got guys like Gunther who, like, what they do in the ring outshines their character. Chad Gable, another one. But I do believe, you know, you're in the wrestling business. Like, you're in like you're training, you know, every week, you know, multiple times a week. So you would know better than me, but I do feel like if you're good at being entertaining and cutting promos, you might have a little bit of more gray area in the sense that they'll be willing to work with you longer because you have like the ability to draw, like, or you look like you could be somebody that could draw people in. Would you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, that's a fair point. But hold on. I just got some crazy news as we recording this right now.
What happened?
Dang. So this is not wrestling related or anything, but like apparently LeVar Ball had to get his foot amputated.
Dang.
Yeah, after serious medical issue. Yep, New York Post, TMZ, Sports Illustrated, Daily Mail, they all confirmed it. So, dang. Right, look, prayers to LeVar Ball, man.
Yeah, prayers for him, man. As much hate as he, you know, gets, you can't lie. Like, he's raised three successful sons.
That man went 3 for 3, man. He went 3 for 3. So, I don't want to hear nothing.
Like, man, shout out to him, man. No. Hope for get well soon, for sure. Being that WWE isn't a wrestling company anymore and they're more focused on storytelling and entertainment, one of the better storytellers, entertainers, and pro wrestlers in the company is undoubtedly Seth freaking Rollins. And he said that after he retires, he could see himself possibly being in a Triple H or Shawn Michaels role, really being behind the scenes, running the company. My question to you, clearly you don't know Seth Rollins, but what do you think a company of Seth Rollins, that Seth Rollins is spearheading, would look like?
I would say, I mean, I don't think it would be anything different. I mean, for the better, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, if you look at it, if he takes notes from Triple H, he takes notes from Shawn Michaels, he takes notes, you know, from all the head writers that are there right now, they could be all right.
Definitely. I ain't gonna lie. I know a lot of people might agree with this, but I think Seth Rollins is this generation's Triple H. Being that, like, he has the ability to show range, His old wearing outfits, crazy outfits.
I'd say Shawn Michaels, though.
You think
I'd say he's more of a Shawn Michaels, yeah. Because from all the outfits and the way he walks to the rings like that, I think that's more Shawn Michaels like.
I mean, I could see it, but then
Triple H is more of like an angry powerhouse back in the day.
Yeah, I don't mean like wrestling style, but just mean like come up. Like they both started off singularly when Seth was in NXT winning the championship, Hunter Hearst Helmsley winning the Intercontinental Championship. They really took off once they joined the group, Triple H and DX, Seth Rollins, and The Shield. Then,
yeah, I can see it.
You know, then like they got out of that group, became bigger, hated guys, and then really just been like the backbone of the company ever since. So, and they both married women that are successful. So, you know, that's another thing they got in common. But on to the SmackDown reviews, man. The show started off with Cody Rhodes coming out. He was then interrupted by Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre. Jacob and Solo. Jacob was wanting Solo. Y'all forgive me, man. I ain't do this pod in about 2 weeks. But Jacob and Cody both wanted Solo. Solo showed up to the arena in an all-white Batista outfit. Had a lot of questions to answer. But as this was happening, Jacob had his eyes on that WWE championship. Do you feel like he has one of those in his near future?
Most definitely. A lot of people are probably going to just like, they're probably not going to agree with me for saying this, but most definitely. And I see it coming, like, I'm not going to say ASAP, but it's going to come in a timely fashion for sure. Because like the route that they're putting like Jacob Fatu in right now, it hasn't been seen really. And it's gonna be a hot take. Hasn't been seen since Brock in 02. Hasn't been seen since Sheamus in 09. So
I can dig it.
Hey.
Naomi qualified for the Elimination Chamber by beating out Chelsea Green. We'll have more on Naomi later, but being that Chelsea Green and Lyra Valkyria both lost their qualifying matches, both the mid-card women's champions took L's. Triple H has been under a lot of scrutiny lately for his booking decisions. Do you feel like this was the right call?
Dude, people got to understand, you want wrestling to be unpredictable, right? Champions sometimes lose non-title matches. All right, it happens. It's just that's just the pro wrestling sport. You can lose at any given moment. So I mean, look, just like Jack Perry says, "Cry me a river, you will be okay. I promise. I promise." And I already know like what everybody's like going to probably be saying. Oh, Lara Valkyria was also on main event. Okay. So what? Cry me a river. They're not Barry just because they're on main event. Main event is not like a Barry show.
I mean, I saw this crazy video of like they were just showing the main event card for main event, and literally for almost every week in 2024, it was that man Apollo Crews. So I mean, to be honest. Like,
I mean, Apollo Crews, though, but Apollo Crews, like, that's the thing, though. At least he getting reps, though. At least he getting matches. You know what I'm saying? He ain't look, though. My dog Apollo Crews, he survived. He survived them cuts. He survived. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, hey, I'll take it. Hey, look, my dog Apollo Crews still got a job. So, ain't nobody
it's because, over here. It's because my boy back there snitching. He's snitching on Pretty Deadly. He's snitching on DIY. My boy, you know. He back there sneaking. Hey,
what's crazy, he's actually being used in storyline low-key.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of using him, which is crazy. So, I mean, hey, like I said, bro, y'all got to put some respect on Apollo Crews' name. This dude is a former Intercontinental champion, bro.
Real, from the motherland.
Yeah. Hey, with the Kalanda Aziz.
Man, I ain't gonna lie. The Thunderdome era, I might have to go back and watch that. It was some great stories.
It was some crazy times, bro. They honestly, and this is gonna be a hot take though. This is gonna be a crazy hot take. But I think that the Thunderdome era was probably VKM's like best booking in a while. Around that time,
for sure. No question.
Because I mean, hey, I don't know. Look, I don't know if he called in some help or something like that, but hey, whoever helped him out.
From what I understand, like when you look at some of the main guys, because there was no audience, they could film this stuff and then like if he didn't like it, reshoot it. So like they had more, you know, opportunity, because if they fail, they could just rerun it. And then MVP, like it was his idea to start the Hurt Business. It was the Fiend's idea, like everything he did with Randy Orton, and they threw Alexa Bliss in there, but the Fiend made it what it was. It was Roman Reigns' idea to turn heel and like start this thing with his family and Jay. So it's like, to be honest, he was giving them more creative freedom, and it kind of paid off, because without I'll do you one better. Without the Thunderdome era, this whole like where WWE is now, it wouldn't exist, because that laid the groundwork. That laid the groundwork for everything.
Yeah, without Thunderdome era, there is no main event Jey Uso.
Yeah.
Period. There's no main event Jey. Hell, without the like I hate to sound bogus, but without the situation happening with Jimmy Uso, with him getting hurt at WrestleMania, there was no main event Jey Uso.
Facts.
Hell, for all we know, it could have been main event Jimmy Uso.
It was definitely heading in that direction beforehand.
Yeah.
Because I remember when they was putting Jimmy on commentary because they just thought like he was charismatic and he was like the better one when Jay was hurt. So, but yeah. Naomi and Bianca Belair, they met Nick Aldis backstage. He showed them video footage of Raquel and Liv at the site where Jay was being taken and put into an ambulance, showing that they were on site. But a lot of people on TikTok, on Twitter, in the IWC believe that this is not true. And they believe that Naomi is still the attacker of Jade Cargill. What do you believe in all of this?
Now, I'm going to tell you another thing that people are saying. So, there's this theory going around that Naomi is the attacker and Bianca Belair is the mastermind behind the whole thing.
I said that.
And that's just what it is. And it's crazy because I really think something's going to come out of Elimination Chamber.
I know we got predictions on the next week podcast, but I think Bianca Belair is going to win the chamber.
Yeah.
When I look at everybody in it, or one of them might not even make it in the chamber. Think about it.
Can pull a Kofi Kingston and Edge.
Yep. Hey, WWE, I'm telling y'all right now, come get your boy. But look, though. Alexa Bliss also qualified for the chamber. And as she was approaching Nia and Candice LeRae backstage, we saw some fiendish activity going on in the background. So do you think you were telling me that Alexa Bliss wasn't gonna join the Wyatt Six, but she's on SmackDown. The Wyatt Six are on SmackDown. Now they're starting to show up in her segments, in her matches, their little cryptic messages. So what you think?
I mean, look, it can go one or two ways, to be honest, bro. She could join forces with the Wyatt Six, or they wanted to pull a little swerve card on us. They could be the ones, you know, Nikki Cross could turn against Alexa Bliss.
That'd so be crazy.
There's always that possibility. So
nah, I could definitely see her being the leader or a co-leader.
Yeah. But if they do join forces, though, they definitely need to go after the women's tag titles for sure.
For sure. Shout out to Bianca and all the work she's doing with either Jay or Naomi revitalizing the tag team division. But yeah, I would like to see that.
She really got that tag team division right here, bro. I know her back hurt, bro. Golly.
Trish Stratus was in attendance saying that somehow or some way she will be at Elimination Chamber. We soon found out how that would be. Tiffany Stratton was defending her title against Nia Jax. Candice LeRae came in, interfered, causing disqualification. So Tiffany retained. She was then attacked by Nia and LeRae on a 2-on-1. Trish Stratus hopped in, tried to help her. It was to no avail. She still got put down. So they left those two in the ring laying. And then Charlotte came out to say that she chooses Tiffany Stratton for WrestleMania. And after it was announced that we're getting Tiffy and Trishy time versus Nia Jax and Candice LeRae in Toronto at Elimination Chamber. So part one of my question is, how do you feel about that tag match? And then part two, how do you feel about Charlotte versus Tiffany Stratton at WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's safe to say that Tiffany Stratton is babyface now. So that's a good thing to see. And I mean, hey, it should be a good match, you know what I mean? So it's like a teacher and a student kind of match, you know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to it. Now with the Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton thing, I think everybody already knew that Charlotte was going to pick Tiffany Stratton. Everybody knew that, so it was no surprise there. Just like how everybody knew that Jey Uso was going to pick Gunther, you know what I mean? Everybody knew that, which we're going to get to later.
Bring that up. That's going to be that's a sensitive topic right there. Not for me, for the IWC.
Oh, yeah. Look, man, I'm not even going to – look, we ain't even going to speak on that right now because it's a lot that I can say, but I ain't going to say yet. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
All right. Has WWE failed Shinsuke Nakamura's return and new character already? It seems like he's been just sitting in the shadows, as he came out and said. As with all Japanese wrestlers, when he was cutting his promo, it was kind of hard to understand. I don't blame him for that. I like the promos where they did the video package for him. But then it seems that he was approached by LA Knight again, so we're getting back into that rivalry. And if you ask me, I think all signs are leading to Shinsuke Nakamura eventually dropping the title at WrestleMania to either him or Big Jim. So, you know, what do you think? Do you think WWE has botched Shinsuke Nakamura's new character direction?
That U.S. title, bro. I can't catch a break, man. Oh, man. But, yeah, unfortunately, I think it is. Just like another team that we're – well, just like a team that we're going to, like, probably discuss later on. Yeah, I think they're dropping the ball with a couple of things right now. But, I mean – It's just the roster is too stacked, bro. The roster is just too stacked. So, I mean, you really can't fault the man. You know what I'm saying? So, but at the end of the day, he's your champion. So,
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Apparently, they're bringing in Road Dogg to spearhead SmackDown Creative. A lot of people are kind of like sour on that because he was head of SmackDown during the SmackDown Live era. But then also Vince McMahon was rewriting the show as it was going on. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
We'll see. We'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see about that. I can't necessarily. I'm not gonna go all IWC on this whole thing. So I'm gonna just wait it out. I'm gonna wait and see what happens. You know what I mean?
But are you interested in an LA Knight versus Shinsuke rematch for the title?
Yeah. I mean, only way I'll be interested is if LA Knight regains the title. Like he would. Shinsuke probably has to just drop the title like on the next title defense at this point. The next title defense, he has.
Well, we know where you stand now, but hey, look though, Jacob is ascending. His trajectory is going up. Like you said, he's on that Brock and Sheamus type run. Now he's getting into it with Solo, who told Jacob that he loves him and to bring the title back to the family. But in our main event, we got the qualifying match between Braun Strowman, Jacob Fatu, and Damian Priest. And because of Solo, or you can argue because of Solo, Jacob wasn't able to get this done. Solo came out to help. He ended up Samoan spiking Tamatunga, in which Jacob saw, and then he was taken out. And then Damian Priest got the victory, which we'll get to Damian Priest in a minute. But what do you think about, you know, them building this, seem like this tension building between Jacob and Solo?
I ain't gonna lie. This may be setting up for a WrestleMania match.
Oh, yeah. Definitely
is. Jacob versus Solo. I can see it. And I will be fully invested in that match. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm telling you, man, that bloodline is taking over the WWE right now, bro. That bloodline
for is better just, for better or for worse.
For the better. But it's crazy because like it's been like this since like the Thunderdome era. That was like 5 years ago. They've been taking over the game for 5 years straight. Like, that's wild, bro. So hey, kudos to them, man. Hey, for the work that they put in, like for years. We talking years before, like, you know, we was even born. You know what I mean? It's finally paying off now. Like, see it. It's paying off at the right time, too. So.
I'm definitely looking towards the I hate you Solo chant. It's going to be crazy. Definitely got to get one of those. On the other side, Damian Priest qualified for the Elimination Chamber. And this left the IWC in shambles as people are now starting to turn on Damian Priest, saying that he's not that good, he's not that talented, so he's getting the Jey Uso treatment. This is all comments I've seen online. See? People are unhappy that he's winning, and they felt like Jacob should have got in the chamber over Damian Priest. Your thoughts?
See, this is what I peep game, though. The IWC is literally like the minority. To be honest with you, the fans in attendance and all that, that is the majority. So if you don't see the people like booing or whatever, then I honestly don't even pay them no mind no more, bro. I think it's gotten to the point where like, and it's a thing too, like the WWE execs and all that, like Paul Levesque and everybody else, I'm sure that they see what the IWC is saying. Of course. This is a new era. It's not like in the Vince era where you could obviously see that he was seeing it, but he wasn't paying it any mind. You know what I mean? Triple H is acknowledging these. He sees these. He peep game. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's just like, bro, the IWC, bro, y'all gotta stop. Stop, bro. Stop. Look, I don't want to go full on heel on y'all right now, but it's just like, man, y'all tripping, bro.
Nah, man. My favorite thing to do is, at first I hated it, but now that I done separated myself from it, Like when I do the research on the news of the week and everything, going on the IWC and seeing some of the most ridiculous takes on the internet of wrestling, bro, it's bad, dog. It's bad. Like,
I bet
people,
it is.
You know, shout out that boy Finn Balor, but I saw this one comment. They said it should have been Finn Balor over Jay. I don't know how we got to that conclusion, but I thought it was hilarious, you know? But
look, man, like I've been saying before, bro, Finn Balor is the D-Rose of the WWE, bro. One for that injury, dog. His time, like, bro, dude would have been a multi-time WWE champion at this point, I think.
Definitely.
But
I agree with you.
That's the IWC for you, man. Like, they ain't never happy, bro.
Man, we're going to move on to Monday Night Raw. The show started off with Sami Zayn coming out to address his former friend. And we are officially getting an unsanctioned match. GM Adam Pearce could not sign off on a match between Sami and Kevin Owens because Sami is not 100%. He doesn't want to be responsible over what could potentially happen to Sami. So this led to Sami asking for an unsanctioned match. And we get into part two. You know, if you're a wrestling historian, you'll know this ain't the first time we get in Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens in an unsanctioned match. But, hey, I really want to know, Mr. Xander, knowing what we know, how Sami feels, how Kevin Owens feels, are you team Sami or are you team KO?
That's tough. I ain't gonna lie. I probably can't even pick a side, but it's just like, man, like at the same time though, like I don't want to see Kevin Owens break Sami Zayn neck, bro. I don't want to see it happen, bro. But if he does though, like I said before, I hate to sound bogus, but it's low key gonna be justified, bro. It's low key gonna be justified. So it's like, I don't know, man, but so I guess if we're going off of what I just said, I guess I'm team KO, man. I don't know. He gotta be heard, man. Him, Drew, Seth, they all justify it, man. It's like
I'm definitely team KO. Sami Zayn said that he ran out to the ring to check on him. Man, at the same time. Kevin Owens got a point. He ran out to the ring to save Roman Reigns and still got eliminated by Jay, whether accidentally or not. The bloodline keeps screwing you over, and you can't put this in the past. Then, you know, you're supposed to be my dog. I know you longer than you know in the bloodline, and you choosing them over me? It's like Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris over me? It's the same thing, man. So I'm going with Kevin Owens. Now, I don't want to see him break that man's neck. But, hey. Also, how do you feel about this whole Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross thing? It's looking like we're going to get that match soon, too.
Look like we might get a heel turn from Sami Zayn soon, bro.
That would be crazy.
Because, I mean, like, I kind of hate to say, but Karrion Kross is 100% success rate.
Yeah.
He has a 100% success rate. Everybody he comes across, bro, it just something clicks. That's why I'm kind of waiting. I ain't going to lie. The moment I see Karrion Kross getting to some stuff with Cody Rhodes, it's over. It's over, bro. It's over.
You're going to be holding your breath on that one for a while, I feel like. But we're going to see.
Hey, look, I'm not a booker, man. I'm just throwing out fantasy stuff out there right now.
AJ Styles qualified for the men's. Nah, wait. Am I tripping? Did he qualify for the men's? Nah, he didn't. AJ Styles beat Dominic Mysterio, was almost speared by Bron Breakker, but then he moved out the way. And Dominic Mysterio got speared. So it looks like AJ Styles is Bron Breakker's next victim, so to speak. And Dom keeps urging the Judgment Day to add a new member. So first, I want to talk about the Intercontinental Championship picture. Do you think who deserves it more? AJ Styles, Sheamus, Penta, Ludwig Kaiser? Who do you think should be taking on Bron Breakker at the Show of Shows?
Oh, to be honest, wait, how many people did you just name?
So you got AJ Styles, Sheamus, because he never got the IC title, Ludwig Kaiser, Penta, and then you can add Pete Dunne in there too.
I ain't gonna lie, throw all six in there and do a ladder match.
That's probably likely.
All six. That match would cook, bro. All them. And then Sheamus ends up being the one to get it. Oh, yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Because I think, because look, though, at the end of the day, bro, it doesn't leave people out of WrestleMania. And, like, it doesn't really affect anybody for real. Like, nobody really gets, you know, the momentum down or whatever. Like, that, the momentum doesn't shift in a way if they take that loss. Because you didn't get pinned, you didn't tap out, you just didn't grab the title.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be mad if they put them in a 6-man ladder match for the IC title. It's not like we haven't seen that kind of match before at WrestleMania.
Nah. That's my only thing. They do that match at almost every WrestleMania. So they need to just, if it wasn't such a successful match, I would have loved for the Money in the Bank to be like a WrestleMania staple, but
that's what I'm saying. I low key missed it when it used to be in WrestleMania, man.
Yeah, it just the moment felt bigger,
right? But, and they got more people involved in WrestleMania.
Yeah, facts. But yeah, Dominic Mysterio has been urging the Judgment Day for a new member. Who do you think the new member could and or should be?
I don't know, man.
I'll tell you what the IWC keeps saying.
Who?
Aleister Black, a.k.a. Malachi Black, a.k.a. Tommy End.
That would be something.
But
that would be something right there. I ain't gonna lie. That, if they do put him in that group, that will kind of give them the breath of fresh air that they probably need right now to keep this group going.
You think so? I just think it'll look like a weird group though. Like you add him and then like, cause everybody else in the Judgment Day, like once Priest and Rhea left, they kind of lost that
ace. Yeah.
They kind of
I did notice that. Like that aesthetic was kind of gone. Like I kind of thought that they were bringing that back when they kind of brought in Raquel, because you know, like Raquel, when she was the heel, she was a little more serious, but she ain't as serious. She was in NXT though.
So this leads me to the person who I think is gonna join because they're not that serious anymore. Now these two have been talking about teaming up together for a long time, and I think it's finally gonna happen. Logan Paul, man, that's who's gonna join. I'm telling y'all right now, he's gonna join the Judgment Day. And him and Dominic Mysterio are going to take over Monday Night Raw.
Logan Paul.
I'm telling you right now, Logan Paul.
Dang, bro. I didn't think about that one. Now, look. Y'all heard it here first. If he's right, look, he gets all the credit. I don't care what nobody say.
But we'll see. I've been wanting them to be a team for a long time because they get like the most heat. So that would be the most hated tag team probably ever. Dakota Kai is the new number one contender for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. She beat Ivy Nile. So it's looking like we're going to get that rematch. And then Roxanne Perez qualified for the Women's Elimination Chamber when Naomi and Bianca attack Liv Morgan ringside. Who do you think is most likely to win? Roxanne Perez in the chamber or Dakota Kai? Now, Dakota Kai has the best odds, but who do you think is most likely, you know, to win?
Dakota Kai. I don't know about Roxanne Perez getting that, man.
Nah, she probably gonna have a one-on-one match with Bayley down the line. The New Day proves that they're nothing but a bunch of suckers. They attacked Rey Mysterio at the end of Monday Night Raw last week. Then they got jumped by the LWO. Like, when I say jump, they got jumped. Like we done seen that before in our lifetime. You know, at a certain school, but that's what it looked like to me. But they managed to get away. How do you feel about the direction that the New Day and the LWO is going in? Do you even care?
The LWO? I'm just glad Penta ain't in it. There we go.
Facts, man. Shout out my boy Dragon Lee, man. He deserved better. In the main event, Seth Rollins defeated Finn Balor to take the final spot in the men's Elimination Chamber match. So that makes Seth Rollins, Logan Paul, CM Punk, John Cena, Damian Priest, and who am I forgetting? Drew McIntyre. So, and that was Monday Night Raw. Your thoughts about Monday Night Raw overall?
Solid show. I mean, what more can I say?
Hey, man, before we head on out of here, I just need one more thing from you.
What's up?
AEW Grand Slam. Go in.
What you want me to talk about? What you want me to talk about? I mean, it was a decent show. It was just one thing that was kind of flawed. It's that ring size, man. I mean, that's the only thing, bro. The ring that I trained in is bigger than the ring that they had. They had a 16 by 16. An official ring for the major promotions is 20 by 20. I'm in an 18 by 18. So, bro, I just don't understand. I don't know how that even gotten through. Like, I don't know if they borrowed that ring from somebody, but I heard that Buddy Matthews was not having it, though. I heard he was hot.
I mean, he in his home country trying to show out, man.
Man, they also saw ringside, bro.
I saw Tony Khan get booed too.
Apparently, he scammed people. I don't know what it was about. All I seen on TikTok was like, "Oh, Tony Khan scamming." I didn't know what he's scamming people from, but hey, I don't know, man. It's Tony Khan, bro. He was actually out here recently during a Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah, him and another guy that used to run WWE was.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
And this one just came in. Would you like to see HBK return to the ring? This, of course, JDC told us that when he was in NXT crossing the line from TNA, he talked to Shawn Michaels backstage, and Shawn Michaels may have hinted at the fact that he got one or two more in him. What are your thoughts on that?
No. Shawn Michaels.
Crown Jewel was.
We all love you. We all love you. We respect you. But man, the ring is just, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't think it's there anymore for you, dog. But that's okay, though. Cause you're literally successful in like other avenues, so you don't need that, bro. It's the same thing that I be telling about Edge or Cope. You gotta come home, bro. If you're gonna be wrestling, you gotta come on home, bro. I'm gonna keep saying that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, bro, you had a little moment, you know what I'm saying, at Grand Slam. Excuse me. You had a little moment at Grand Slam where everybody was singing your theme song. Okay, cool. But you could have easily gotten that at WrestleMania. Don't you miss WrestleMania? Don't you miss the sold-out arenas?
Oh, man.
I'm acting like the IWC right now. I'm cool, bro. Bro, oh, I'm trolling.
Before we head on out of here, though, what anything you got to say to the people before we head on out?
Alexander underscore on all socials, and just like that, hey, I ain't got nothing else.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard the man. We'll be back next week. Make some predictions for Elimination Chamber. But until then, safety and like that, we out.